Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to yet another exciting episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on American Freedom Radio for the listening discomfort of the intelligence agencies who just have to sit there, you know, being paid hourly wages. I know you don't even have your dental plan or anything like that when you start getting your teeth knocked down in the local bar when you talk about things you heard on the Vinnie Eastwood Show, you poor surveillance drone scumbag. Now, my very special guest joining me today, and this is my first day back on the radio after a lengthy, when I say holiday, I need you to qualify this, ladies and gentlemen, and understand that there was not been a single day where I actually just didn't do anything truth-related, and didn't do any editing, and didn't do any website updating, and so on and so forth. So when I say holiday, I just wasn't technically showing up for 2 hours a week on American Freedom Radio and was doing a heck of a lot of other stuff. But, oh my God, I digress. Dr. Rima Lebo, my very special guest, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you so much, Vinny. It's a pleasure always to be here with you.
I know. You're welcome. Give us a little bit of a breakdown about what you've been up to lately. We were talking about depression, your relocation back to the United States of Russia. You know, like, when I say Russia, I mean the United States. but yes, please tell us about this. How come?
Thank you. Well, to recap, I was living with General Burt in Chile, and we were there for the work of the Natural Solutions Foundation. By the way, folks, our principal website, and you really do want to go there and enter your email address to join the newsletter distribution. The principal website is drrima truthreports.com. drrimatruthreports.com. And tonight we will have, and the information is there about how you can listen to it, we will have an edition of our radio show, the Dr. Rima Truth Reports, at Spreaker.com, and that's on the website. And we will have Dr. Paul G. King, one of the great experts on vaccine toxicity, talking with us about why you really, really should never get vaccinated or vaccinate your children. And we'll be talking about the strategy backed by international treaty and law that allows you to refuse every and all vaccines, even if you live in places like Australia or California, the fascist, we own your body vanguard of the New World Order places. So I brought General Burt back to the United States because he needed some natural treatment. He could have gotten lots of allopathic high quality care, if those two phrases don't contradict each other, allopathic and high quality. And where we were living in Chile, but that was not what he needed. He needed nutritional IVs. He needed chiropractic care. He needed acupuncture. He needed good medicine. And so we came back to the United States on August 19th of 2016, and he was getting better, but he wasn't getting better faster enough. And so on the night of September 1st of 2016, he collapsed, and I had a choice. I could have let him die there in my arms, or I could call an ambulance and take him into the belly of the beast, the allopathic beast. I chose not to let him die. I had him taken by ambulance to the hospital where the nutritional physician who was giving him intravenous IVs and helping him was an attending and notified the attending. And there began a six-month battle that ended in his death. And the battle was that I was curing him with natural methods and they were trying to eliminate him and forbid the natural methods. For instance, 3 months into the battle, the director of the hospital that he was then in called me in and capriciously and arbitrarily said that all the nutrients that had saved his life thus far that I have had to fight so hard to get into him through a stomach tube that took 3 weeks to get into him, were to be stopped because the FDA had not approved them. And I said, the FDA has no legal authority to approve any drugs. What are any nutrients? What are you talking about? And he said, well, nonetheless, you can't. Well, General Burt went back into a coma. He went back on a ventilator. He was dying of starvation. And I went to court and I got a judge to order that I was permitted to feed him and brought him back from the brink again. And finally, we got vitamin C into him. The turnaround was miraculous. His kidneys started working again, even though he was on dialysis 3 to 4 times a week. Vitamin C, amazing. You would think that it would be part of every regimen in every hospital, but you'd be wrong in the United States, certainly.
Well, that would be only if you think that hospitals are there to help people.
You'd be wrong. You'd be wrong, wouldn't you? Mm-hmm. And so because the turnaround was so stunningly magnificent, his kidneys began working again and so on and so on, he was dispatched. He was dispatched. Now, I'm not going to say anything more about the particulars because we are in the process of data gathering and you will hear about it soon enough. But I lost General Burt. I lost the love of my life. I lost my soulmate. I lost the president of the Natural Solutions Foundation. And I lost my strategic analytic genius partner. However, I have continued. I'm still in the United States for a variety of interesting reasons, but I have continued the work. And that's what Ralph Fusitola, my co-trustee, and I are doing, the work of the Natural Solutions Foundation. The corporate hegemony, the pharmaceutical hegemony, believes it owns your body. If it does, you're a slave, and you're already enslaved. If they can tell you what has to go into your body or what may not go into your body, then you are a slave. Or they don't have that right, and you can fight back, and you can stand up, and you can take various actions that will push those globalist scum back and declare the reality of your freedom. For example, you do not have to accept any vaccination ever, no matter what your employer or your child's school or anybody else tells you. If you live in any of 126 countries that are signatories to the Geneva Convention, and if you go to tinyurl.com/AVD card, that's A for advance, V for vaccine, D for directive, AVD card, tinyurl.com/AVD card, you will learn precisely how to acquire the legal protection that you and your child can carry in your wallet, their diaper bag or school backpack or wherever, to allow you to safely and legally refuse all vaccines. That's only one strategy that the Natural Solutions Foundation has put forward. In fact, I am at this very moment, or I was before the radio show began, Vinny, I was finishing the editing of a new ebook about the new biologically engineered plague that is being brought to you by the globalist scumbags, WHO, the United States government, the Global Health Security Initiative, the UN, and the other awful actors in this scene. And the book is about the weaponized plague that has been released quite literally by a mad scientist who worked for the Pasteur Institute, weaponizing Yersinia pestis, that's the Black Death, more commonly known. And because he was part of a cult that believed in ritual murder in its homosexual blood rites, I kid you not.
Whoa. He was part of the White House?
He was. Yes, exactly. Past, present, and perhaps future. He took the weaponized plague to Madagascar, where he had a ritual encounter with his bloodlust buddies, and he released the weaponized bubonic and pneumonic plague. Then he went back to Paris, where he was employed by the Pasteur Institute, and they said, "Oh my God, you weren't supposed to let anybody know about that, you idiot." So they fired him and they took away his clearances. Now, these are government clearances because it's governments that are, in fact, weaponizing these things. And there are a couple of issues here. Let me read you a partial list of the things that the Soviet Union, the former Soviet Union, was weaponizing since 1960. Anthrax, plague, tularemia, glanders, brucellosis, Q fever, Venezuelan equine encephalitis, botulism.
Whoa. Venezuelan bovine encephalitis? That sounds really nasty.
Venezuelan equine encephalitis.
Oh, even tastier.
Ah, yum. Botulism, staphylococcus, smallpox, and Marburg virus. That's just a small list. The United States has weaponized ever so many things, and the pharmaceutical companies and WHO are just doing their own thing all the time. Now, let me point out that even if there weren't crazy people like this mad scientist who literally tried to create a plague, and it seems like he's doing a pretty good job of it, even if that weren't the case, the laboratories at which these things are done inevitably have security lapses, unintentional. We're not even talking about the intentional ones. And there is a history of these monstrous organisms escaping again and again and again and again and again and again and again out of every laboratory. For instance, the reason that we have the MRSA, the flesh-eating staphylococcus, is that a lab technician at a Monsanto lab in Paris made the mistake of pouring a beaker full of this stuff down a drain instead of sterilizing the contents and killing it. Now we have it all over the world. These organisms cannot be effectively contained. And there is only, to my knowledge, one thing that works against them that is non-toxic and effective, and I'll talk about that in a minute.
Nanosilver.
Nanosilver, 10 parts per million, exactly. But the point is, and we're not allowed to say that, Vinny, we're only allowed to say that it supports your immune system. It doesn't work against anything. It doesn't do anything. You should buy it and take a capful of a day minimum because you want to support the Natural Solutions Foundation and your immune system, because it's forbidden to say that it is the universal antibiotic.
That's right. Here's the new advertisement. Buy NanoSilver. It does stuff. It does stuff.
No, it doesn't do anything. Doesn't do anything. If you go to nsfmarketplace.com, you'll see it there. I spent 16 years looking for the world's best silver product, and I found it, and it has my name on it. Dr. Rima recommends. But the point is, they don't want you to know that no matter what they weaponize, if your immune system is able to defend itself, you're going to be fine. And your immune system is spectacularly defended with this nano-silver stuff. They really don't want you to know that, because then all their hard work is for naught. And we really have to feel sorry for them, don't we? If they have all these level 4 biosecurity labs and spend scads and scads of money and really try to kill the whole bulk of the population, and something as simple as a nutritional supplement like nanosilver, 10 parts per million, can make all their work a waste of effort. Don't you think that's sad, Vinny?
Yeah, well, if I wasn't a psychopath, I would think that was sad. So, yes.
No, if you were a psychopath, you would think it was...
Sorry, I get the two confused so much ever since the people who run the Diagnostic Statistical Manual removed the diagnosis as well as narcissism. You know, I don't know why they did that. And maybe it's because people who have that personality disorder often wind up in charge of really, really authoritarian organizations and also don't like people knowing who and what they are. Yeah.
Precisely. So I am for a variety of reasons in Tucson, Arizona at the moment, and I am as surprised as you, but it seems to be the right place at the right time, at least for now, and all kinds of good things are promised to come out of that, which I will tell you about the next time we talk, if they do, and I will lament if they don't, but the truth of the matter is that right now, if I knew of some place other than the United States to be that was better at the moment, that the globalists hadn't infected, I would be there, Vinny. The problem is that the globalists are like the organisms that they're weaponizing, the viruses and the bacteria that they're weaponizing, they spread very rapidly and they're very toxic. And I know of nothing except truth and activism to control the deadliness of the globalist viruses. I mean, the people, the virus people who are out there doing these terrible, terrible things. So we have to simply combine our efforts, as you and I are doing right now, bring truth forward and bring effective strategies like the Advanced Vaccine Directive card to turn down vaccines legally everywhere, including Australia, where the no pay, no play, and, no jab, no pay, no play, no this, no that laws are being enforced because people simply don't know. They do have the right to refuse them.
Can I ask a question on this? First of all, there's the element of those this crowd that will forcibly vaccinate you, that kind of thing. And this seems to be coming, if not in some cases already here, you know, where mothers turn around and all of a sudden a nurse has their baby vaccinated in front of them, you know, that kind of thing. But the other part of it is, even if you do legally, you know, get to refuse the vaccine without actually having the vaccine inserted into you forcibly, there are still all these onflow effects of, you know, you lose your job, your kid can't go to school, so on and so forth and blah, 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 right?
That's my point, Vinny. That's my point, that those onflow effects, as you call them, what a delightfully New Zealandish phrase. I've never heard that before, but it's a perfect phrase. These onflow effects are prohibited. You are not allowed under international law. And let me explain to the people who are listening who don't happen to be international lawyers that once a country signs a treaty is in fact a legal document that changes the laws of the country to conform to the law of the treaty. Okay? So if you and I are countries, and in my country, chicken can't be chlorinated. And in your country, it can be, as it is in the United States, horrifyingly, dipped in chlorine bleach because it's so dirty in the slaughterhouses. Hang on one second. I'm going to go on mute because I must take this call. I'll be right back.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. I understand that there are so many legal backgrounds to refusing vaccination and almost every kind of government intervention in your life, corporate intervention, all this stuff's illegal, but they just do it anyway, right? And often the reason why they think they can do it is because the person doesn't know their rights in the first place and they're not able to pipe up and just go, actually, no, that's wrong and I have the right, et cetera, et cetera. Sometimes that can diffuse the situation. But, you know, murders against the law still happens. Just like forcibly vaccinating somebody would be against the law. And I'm pretty sure it probably still happens. What I'm saying is that there's a toolbox that we all must have. And the first tool in that box is the knowledge. And of course, this this vaccination card, that enables you to give all those legal protection boundaries to you. My question is, what happens when these people don't follow the rules that they don't follow anyway?
Okay, so that's a very, very important question. So let me explain what the treaty's impact is. The law that 126 countries have adopted as their own, including Australia, New Zealand, China, the United States, Canada, blah, 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 blah. Pretty much, if you're listening to the sound of Vinny's voice and mine, you live in a Geneva Convention country. And that means that if someone refuses any medical treatment whatsoever, in this case, vaccination, it is a criminal offense for anyone to harass, intimidate, threaten, or otherwise pressure them financially or otherwise to accept that procedure, or punish them if they don't accept the procedure. Now, what does that mean? Let's say, for instance, when General Burt was in the hospital, day after day, moment after moment, people wanted to vaccinate him, and I'd whip out the card and I would say no. And they would say, but it's required by law. And I would say, I'd like to see your legal department, please. Have your hospital lawyer come to see me in this room. They never did, because they knew that I was right. Now, let's say a parent is told they cannot go to, the child cannot go to school, or in Australia, the family benefits are withheld. Then it is incumbent upon the person who is asserting their right to speak to an attorney and to bring pressure tactics to bear, or to have a lawyer's letter written asserting their right. 9.9 times out of 10, the other side will back down because they know that their position is indefensible. But if they don't back down, then there are support systems like the Natural Solutions Foundation, like a variety of organizations in Australia and Canada and so on, that will support the ACLU, for example, the American Civil Liberties Union, have the resources to support legally the requirement that the law be followed. And I will give you an example. In California, where children are not permitted to go to school unless they're fully vaccinated because of an insane law, and where homeschooled children are now being forced to be vaccinated, this is crazy, a family contacted me and said, we do not want our children vaccinated, and here's why. I wrote a letter. They took that letter to the school. I gave them specific instructions, along with the Advanced Vaccine Directive card, with specific instructions on how to use that, which comes with the card, by the way. And I told them exactly what they needed to do. And by the way, this, the reason I was able to tell them that was because Ralph Fusitola, who is a trustee of the Natural Solutions Foundation, is an attorney and is very knowledgeable in this area. We told them exactly what to do. And in California, where no child can attend school without full vaccination, blah, 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 these children are in school unvaccinated, because when the family stood their ground and said, we know our rights and we will pursue our rights if you menace us, the state backed down. And that's not an isolated instance. Yeah. But you have to know your rights and you have to stand your ground, instead of saying, well, I don't know. Maybe they'll make trouble for me. Screw them. They want to kill you. They want to make you infertile. They want to make your kids infertile. They want to create the downstream market for the pharmaceutical industry, which is cancer, autoimmune disease, infertility, cardiovascular disease, diabetes. They're already making trouble for you. They're trying to kill you slowly and profitably.
Yep. And I think that highlights the most important thing, that it doesn't matter that there is the National Solutions Foundation and or any of these support groups or anything. You, the person who is being forced vaccinated, you, the person who is in fact having your benefits cut because of your decisions, is ultimately the person who is responsible for taking those letters in there and for asserting your rights. Right?
We are trained to bow our heads and bend our knees and bow our backs and be docile, good little puppets for them. To which my response is, no. And your response ought to be, no. And if you're listening to this show, it already is, no, that's not what I'm going to do. That's not who I am, and that's not how I want to live. I will live free, and I will live with my rights intact. And that takes some effort. That takes standing up to these bullies.
Yep, which can be scary.
Yes, it can. But, you know, you're not alone.
Yeah.
That's the important thing. You're not alone. When these people decided that they didn't want their children vaccinated, they reached out to us. They didn't try to do it alone. It's not a do-it-yourself sport. It really is not. You need legal counsel and so on. And we made that available to them so that they could be front runners, so that they could show other people that it can be done. And indeed, it can be done. But if you assert, for example, your right to not vaccinate, if you don't assert it correctly, it's deemed to never have been asserted. There is an old Roman principle that has come down into common law, and that is that silence is assent. What does silence mean? If you say no, 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 and you think you're not being silent, but in fact your no, no, no is not in the proper format, it's not asserting it correctly, then legally, no matter how much noise you make in terms of decibels, that is silence, and silence is assent. So you must assert your rights, whether it's about vaccination or anything else, correctly. And that means you have to have some guidance, unless you're an expert in this particular area. Most of us are not.
And also, you need a bit of experience. Like, you can't just go in willy-nilly after, like, watching a documentary or something like that. It's just expect that you're going to do this, because these people have got so many lies and so many tricks and so many little pressure techniques that you're just not aware of. And you're not aware of using these techniques on people because you've got a conscience and these things would never even occur to you in the first place.
Precisely. Let me give you an example. There are people who are being experimented upon, and they have terrible effects. They are being experimented upon non-consensually. And it used to be that when somebody said that there were voices being beamed into their head or whatever, the general consensus was, uh-oh, crazy person alert. But then an interesting thing started happening. Our technology developed to the point where if such a person presents themselves for examination to the right kind of engineer, it is possible to scan their body and see if... Excuse me, I'm so sorry. I'll be right.
Well, there's emergency situations here. I was also thinking about scanning and that kind of thing lately. Like, after the, what was his name? Underwear bomber comes in, they go, oh, wow, we've got to have all these naked body scanners in the airport. And now they go, the Vegas shooting? Oh, well, now we've got to have all these scanners in the casinos. What's it going to be next? The bathroom shooter? Oh, we've got to have scanners in everybody's front door, you know? Somebody shot somebody in the bathroom. We need everybody to get scanned before they enter their own home.
I'm back.
Only five years away. You know.
Uncle. So what I was saying was that, what was I saying? I was saying something important.
Yeah. I don't know. I diverged onto some sort of tangent about scanning and like, when does the scanning end?
Yes. Okay. So it is possible for these people who refer to themselves as targeted individuals STIs, to have an electromagnetic scan of their body done. Now, if you're producing radio frequencies out of your left shoulder blade, that is not normal, or your elbow or wherever. And so these people have the fact that they're producing aberrant frequencies documented. And then if they're lucky, they are able to present themselves to a surgeon who removes devices that have been non-consensually presented or inserted into their bodies. This is not science fiction, folks. This is real. And those devices can be traced. They have serial numbers. They have patents associated with them. And the owners of them can be traced. So let's just don't argue with that premise for a minute. Just assume for a moment that all that is true. Okay, so now we have these devices being triggered often at work, and they do various things in the body. That's part of the experiment. We have these devices being triggered, and people are saying to the government, to their agencies that they work for, or to OSHA and so on, this is a problem. I'm being exposed to high levels of unwholesome energies, and this is what's happening to me. And they're being treated as if they are insane, despite the scientific evidence and the device that's been removed and so on. They're being treated as if they are insane, and they're being fired, and they're being removed from their sensitive positions and so on, all of which is illegal. So you can do two things if you're in that unfortunate situation. One is creep away and try to have as little trouble as possible. Or you can stand up to the powers that be and say, I know my rights. I have an attorney. This is not going to happen to me. And you know what? I'm working with a number of these people, by the way. After a fairly ferocious battle, the other side backs down because they're wrong, and the people at the decision-making level know that they're wrong and don't want to be exposed for what they are, which is incredible criminals. So you would think that that's a situation in which the powers that be are all powerful, and yet it turns out that the powers that be are all vulnerable.
Or a smoke screen. Oh, sorry, Rima, you don't seem to be...
I'm there. I was just taking a drink of some water. I was saying that they're very, very vulnerable. They present themselves like the Wizard of Oz, all powerful, but they're not. We have the power. However, if we assert ourselves like cowards, we give them the power.
It is... up to each and every single one of us to assert our own dominance, more or less. I mean, human beings have this part of our brain that really engages when their territory is threatened. It's called your fight or flight response. And I think what's happened is the legal system has basically said if you act in your fight or flight mode when there actually is a fight on, you get into trouble now. Isn't that interesting? Our own systems have been geared to ensure that our own instincts, if they're working properly, will get us punished.
Well, it's not our own systems. It's propaganda and state control. In 1922, Bertrand Russell, who amazingly, Fabian socialist that he was awarded a Nobel Prize for mathematics, which is sort of like Henry Kissinger and Obama being awarded peace prizes. Kind of, you know, the corruption in the Nobel system has been there for a long time. Anyway, in 1922, he said, listen carefully to the words, through injunction, injection, and indoctrination, it will be impossible for the ordinary man to have an independent thought of his own. Injection, injunction, that's indoctrination, that's propaganda, education, vaccination, and he could have added chemicals in the environment, intoxication, if you will. Now, who was Bertrand Russell? He was one of the Fabian socialists like Aldous Huxley, like George Bernard Shaw, and they, like George Orwell, they envisioned a future in which the ordinary man would not be able to form an independent thought. We are being propagandized to comply. We are. I was in the Denver.
If I might say that it's going on as well as to create very specific strata of society, deltas and gammas and so on and so forth. We're not too smart and not too bright. Being gamma is just right.
Exactly, exactly. And if you will remember, and, you know, I advise anyone who is interested in this in any way to go online and read Brave New World by Aldous Huxley that was published in 1932, written in 1931. I advise them to go online. It's available free from the Huxley Society. They're actually proud of this shit. And take a look at the first few chapters and see how society was envisioned to be controlled. And then ask yourself how far we are from each and every one of those factors. Now, some years ago, the Natural Solutions Foundation did a webinar, a 3.5-hour webinar, which is still available and still quite relevant, on autism, in which we showed conclusively that vaccines are being intentionally used to create as many high-functioning autists as possible because they are the technicians of the globalists, and that the globalist organizations are fighting hard to hire them. They are the ideal employee. They are obedient. They are intelligent. They are so socially unskilled that they can never unionize or combine or protest. They are replaceable. They are paid at pennies on the dollar or pence on the dollar or pence on the pound because they are disabled workers. They are a member of the House of Parliament of the UK, Larry Friend, made the point officially in the record of Parliament that the autistic high-functioning worker is the perfect worker for all of these reasons that we're talking about. So that's actually in the proceedings of the British Parliament.
Also, They don't quite understand teasing and things like that. So you can also be mean to them if you're a sociopathic work boss.
You can be mean to them anytime you want. And it doesn't count. And then the other thing is most of them or many of them are infertile. So you won't have an overpopulation of the rabbits, so to speak. Well, we called them this process Delta-ing people, and we called the webinar, well, we said, don't Delta me. It's really exactly what Aldous Huxley had in mind, because
if I may, here's a better term for you, Delta Rising, as in Delta Rising?
Yes.
Yeah. The rise of the Delta.
Exactly.
Just think about that for a second, ladies and gentlemen. You know, it's actually pretty scary. Imagine the entire population that's that very, very, very severely disabled and incapable of looking after themselves, incapable of thinking for themselves, incapable of standing up to authority. You know, oh my God, we're not actually too far away from that, are we? Actually pretty close. Rima, are you still there? I appear to have lost her. It's very unfortunate. Oh, well.
Yes?
Oh, no? Now you're back. Now you're back.
I think I went.
Okay. It's just you seem to be cutting out, perhaps. I don't know. And I'm also very exhausted. Just, you know, worked too hard yesterday. You never know that happens. You know, you work too hard one day and you just can't really do much the next.
Indeed. Indeed. Well, I think the solution is very simple. Don't work hard.
Yeah. But sometimes you actually get stuff done when you work hard, and, you know, that's the ideal.
Well, that is the idea. It's not always the case, but it is the idea all the time. I agree. So the Delta workers are our autistic kids. Now, one of the interesting things is that Professor Stephanie Sennep, of MIT, and there are not too many dumb professors at MIT, by the way. Professor Sennett says that by the year 2030, one child in two will be autistic in the United States, because she says that the combination of aluminum and other toxins plus glyphosate, Roundup, the most widely used herbicide in the world, made by Monsanto, of course, those two things combine to destroy the blood-brain barrier, the one-cell membrane that you have that protects the brain from toxins and therefore from inflammation. Well, you would say, okay, there's glyphosate in food, I'll just avoid it and eat organic food. But you'd be insufficiently prudent, because it turns out when a whole slew of vaccines from around the world, Russia, France, India, China, the United States, elsewhere, when a whole slew of vaccines were tested for glyphosate, it was found that every vaccine except one dog vaccine has added glyphosate to make it far more toxic. There is no reason for glyphosate, an herbicide, to be in vaccines except to make them more toxic. Similarly, there is no reason for nagalase, an enzyme that turns off the human immune system, to be in vaccines, and yet it's there.
These things are not there by accident, of course. And it's all part of a deliberate agenda, and we keep coming up to this thing, and I keep hearing this question, I don't understand, or I don't believe, or I can't believe that that would be the case. Why would somebody do that? Right, people start asking all these questions to the wind before ascertaining the facts and the figures and the details that would make the answers to those questions pretty apparent. World's run by psychopaths. So are most of the major corporations and things like that, and they make money off of suffering and death and enslavement and power-grabbing scumbaggery ways. Sorry to break it to you. but now, knowing that, does the world make a lot more sense? Can you stop saying, oh, I can't believe people are that stupid? They're not that stupid. They're that indoctrinated. They're that toxified. They're that threatened. Right? It's not about a level of intelligence. And the other thing about people who are really stupid is they don't understand that they're stupid. Just like a lot of people who think they're intelligent are actually pretty dumb. And have you ever noticed that, Rima? And a lot of the people who are really, really smart think they know everything, when the reality is that's one of the dumbest things that they could possibly do.
I want to introduce a concept to you, if I may. And that is that there is a right angle relationship, an orthogonal relationship between wisdom and intelligence. You can be really, really intelligent on test scores and be really, really stupid in terms of wisdom, in terms of being able to see the world the way it really is and deal with it in a creative and forward-moving way, which is what I think wisdom is. So you can be super smart in terms of IQ, and just be a disaster in terms of common sense and wisdom. Or you can be not too bright and have excellent mother wit, common sense, and wisdom, and really get what's going on at the gut level. Some people are lucky enough to be both intelligent and wise. A lot of them are grandmothers.
It's good to be gamma, and gamma is good.
Exactly. It's good to be gamma, and gamma is good. Or you can say, no, not on my watch, not in my world, not to my kids, not to me. No, thank you. Let's talk about the shingles vaccine. And by the way, I hope people will turn into our radio show tonight. All you have to do is go to healthfreedomportal.org, and there's a link there that will take you to the show. It's from 9 to 11 Eastern, healthfreedomportal.org, and we'll be talking with Dr. Paul G. King. One of the things that you have to understand, for example, is that the new shingles vaccine is being pushed. Everybody who's over 50 needs the new shingles vaccine. Well, the reason people are getting shingles is because they had the smallpox, the chickenpox vaccine, but leave that out for a moment. The shingles vaccine is 97% ineffective. Let's start with that. Then, about for every person who's vaccinated, about 8/10 of a person is damaged, has a serious adverse reaction. That means that 80% of the people who have this vaccine are going to have a serious adverse reaction, which is going to require drugs. It's a great marketing tool, to say nothing of the long-term effects down the road of having shingles and having the damage caused by the vaccine. And this, the CDC, the Center for Disease Creation of the United States, is recommending as a new health strategy.
Where did they learn this new marketing technique? By chance, was it from a Venus flytrap?
You think so? You think so? And that's actually unfair to a Venus flytrap, because it sits still and it waits for dead things, or waits for things to come to it. The pharmaceutical industry reaches out and makes you sick.
Yeah. So they're like a glaive worm, more like. You know.
This is grave robbers who fill the grave first.
In fact, there is no analogy to really think. In fact, to put into the public consciousness, pharmaceutical company, right? So you'll be like in a movie or something like that, he works for a pharmaceutical company. Oh my God, I'm not a pharmaceutical company! Jesus! Oh my God, it's so terrifying, you know? Like to actually think that the pharmaceutical company rep is as dangerous as, like, say, a terrorist that's wearing a suicide vest in front of you or something like that, to have it actually on that level of threat is an appropriate response.
Let me modify your analogy, which I think is a good one. The terrorist rep is like the imam who says, you should go out there and kill a lot of people. It's a really good thing to do. And the terrorist himself or herself is like the doctor who writes the prescription of death, the doctor who vaccinates, the doctor who doesn't do these things for him or herself, but does them to you and your kids.
I just got a great cartoon image out of that. A doctor in a white lab coat, like, opens their lab coat and it's got like a suicide vest, but it's all made out of vaccines that have all been linked together.
I love it.
Art, I love it.
Right on target.
Yeah. I think that actually would be quite funny, you know, like a claymore mine that's got vaccines in it. They like bury them in the ground outside the children's school.
Actually, I was just reading, one of my areas of expertise is environmental medicine. I don't know if in New Zealand they take old tires and they grind them up and make a small particulate material out of it, and then use that as a fill for playgrounds and playing fields. They do that in the United States. And this mulch, this tire mulch, has never been tested for safety. So people are starting to test it, and they're finding things like the air above this tire mess is incredibly toxic with volatile chemicals, with heavy metals. People churn it up with their feet. They take it home on their shoes and their socks, and interestingly, in their ears, because it's a particulate and it settles, you know, in any place that it can, and on their clothes. And so they're bringing this stuff home, and they're toxifying their house, and people are getting cancer and autoimmune diseases and all kinds of things from it. And industry says it's perfectly safe. But even more exciting, the United States government, the EPA, the Environmental, you should excuse the expression, ha, protection agency, says, well, yeah, it's toxic, but it's really cheap. why don't we just allow our youngest, most vulnerable children, people, our children, to roll around in this stuff? Because think of all the money. It's saving the tire industry on legal disposal.
Yep. Kind of the same reason why they dump fluoride into the water, because it saves the phosphate fertilizer industry money on safe disposal of toxic waste, you know?
You know, they're very interesting. In, I think it's Portland, there was a woman who battled the fluoride industry for 40 years, and she lost. But now that she's in her 90s, but it turns out she has won, because the fluoride, the water treatment system, will have to replace the entire set of pipes and pumps and filters of the entire water treatment system, because the hydrofluorosilic acid, which is the waste product that you're referring to, is so acidic that it has eaten away the entire system. But it's too expensive to replace an entire water system. And so they're eliminating fluoride because they can't afford the damage and destruction. The fluoride that the FDA approves is fluoride. The fluoride that's put into the water system is the wildly toxic hydrofluorosilic acid.
Nice. Very nice.
Isn't that nice?
Meanwhile, here in New Zealand, headline out of New Zealand Herald, child tooth decay soars as kids have to share toothbrushes. And of course, screenshot from the video. What did you take, Vinny? What did you take? Dentists say tooth decay is a wicked problem caused by sugar intake, self-care, and fluoridation policy. Always add the fluoridation policy on the end there, even though it's been proven that fluoridation has nothing to do with the health of your teeth if you fluoridate the water.
It's been proven that it has to do negatively with the health of your teeth. The people who are fluoridated have more tooth decay. The results were published of the studies with the heading switched to make it look the opposite. But in fact, fluoride causes more osteosarcoma, a very serious bone cancer, in males 11 years old and younger. It causes calcification of the pineal gland, not a good thing. It causes bone breaks. It causes dental fluorosis. It causes a whole variety of not good things, including apathy and lowered IQ, along with infertility. And those are not good things if you're us, but they're very good things if you're the globalists.
That's right. It's the fluorosis with the mostest, ladies and gentlemen. Don't question authority. If you listen to the Facebook show, my very special guest, it's Dr. Rima Lebo from DrRimaTruthReports.com. Got to go check out her website and the many things she's been doing over the years. And also, I do would love it, ladies and gentlemen, if you could please go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com and make a donation today through the PayPal or Kiwi Bank there if you happen to be a Kiwi listener. And make sure you send me an email if you do. And I'll ask, and I'll also invite you there to join the Vinny Eastwood Facebook group with the secret people.